Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
As Pastor said, my name is Jim Osborne. I'm 92 years old. I accepted Christ as my Savior at a revival meeting in Clarkson, Washington when I was 10 years old. And I've walked with the Lord by faith ever since. That old church was quite conservative. It didn't believe that young people should drink alcohol, go to movies, or dances and things like that. So I grew up without doing a lot of that stuff. It also taught that the second coming of Christ was imminent and would happen any day. I thought that I wouldn't grow up before Jesus comes back. I remember one time going out on the hillside, laying down, looking up at the clouds and wondering if maybe they would roll back as a scroll today and the Lord would come. But that old church was filled with several Bible-believing, grace-filled people who loved the Lord and loved a little boy named Jim Osborne. In that church, I learned that the scriptures were inspired by God and that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world and I should serve him. In fact, in that church, I first felt the call to become a pastor when a lady said to me one day, "Jim, you ought to be a preacher." At that time, I had no desire to be a preacher. I wanted to be a farmer like my dad, who I dearly loved. But I never forgot her words. In that church, my walk of faith began. Throughout life, the one thing that God wants from me and wants from each one of you is faith. A few weeks ago, Pastor Steve sat down with me and asked me how I was doing since Arlene died. He wanted to know if maybe there was some way I could minister in this church. One of the things that I agreed to do was to speak this morning. So I began to wonder, what can I say that will glorify God and will encourage the people? God seemed to say to me, talk about your walk of faith. I want to read the scripture. What really is faith? I want to read the scripture from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I want to read the first 6 verses. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation by faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Ordinarily, when you talk about faith, you look at this first verse in Hebrews. the faith that sort of, the verse that sort of describes what faith is. But this morning, I want to key in on the sixth verse, the one that says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that there is a God and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. This verse says that faith is a way to please God. I wonder how much thought we give about pleasing God. We give a lot of thought about how to please ourselves. We buy nice clothes to please us. We buy nice cars to please us. We build and nice houses that please us. We do a lot of things to please ourselves. I don't believe those things are necessarily wrong, but I think for the Christian, pleasing God should be our first desire. If faith is pleasing God, there is no better way to please God than to love Him. In fact, Jesus commanded the religious leaders in Mark 12:30 these words: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. For the next few minutes, consider with me the relationship between faith and loving God. For me, they're the same thing. The commandment to love God lists four ways that we should love Him. I want to start with loving Him with your mind. That seems to be the easiest one for me to understand. Faith is believing that God exists, first of all. Faith is believing with our minds that Jesus really lived, that He was born in Bethlehem, and that He taught people about the kingdom of God. Faith is believing with their mind that God sent His only Son into the world to die, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Faith is believing with our minds that Jesus died on a cross. Faith is believing that He rose from the dead. Faith is believing that He's coming back again someday. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can believe with our minds. And I think believing with our minds is a way to love God. And I think it's a way to show faith. But believing with our minds is not the only thing. Faith is believing with our heart, loving God with our heart. How do we love God with our heart? The heart involves emotion. It is our heart that makes us want to know God. It is with our heart that makes us want to be near Him, want to hear Him speak to us, speak to our heart. It's with the heart that we want to pray to Him. We'll learn who He really is in Scripture. It is sort of like a boy who falls in love with a girl. That boy wants to be near her. He wants to talk to her. He wants to laugh with her. He wants to hold her hand. He just wants, his heart just aches to be with her as much as possible. Loving God with our heart makes us really want to know God. Loving the heart is a desire to be near God and to feel one of Jesus' hug. Can you just imagine what it will be like when you get into heaven and Jesus comes up to you and puts His arms around you and says, I'm glad you're here. Wow. I mean, that'll be a hug that'll be hug from the heart. Faith is more than loving God with your mind and your heart. It is loving God with your soul. What is a soul? Well, there's a lot of different interpretations, but for me, it's dust plus the Spirit of God. In the second chapter of Genesis, it says, God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. For me, my body, my thinking, my five senses, and all that I am is my soul. Our only son, Bruce, was killed at age 20, serving in the army while stationed in Germany. The last time we saw him alive was at the Amarillo, Texas airport. When we left that airport, Arlene said to me, "That may be the last time we see him alive." I don't know why she said that. Was it woman's intuition? Did God put it in her heart? I didn't think very much of it at the time, but I did notice the beautiful rainbow in the sky as we left that airport. You could see the end down over here and the end over there, and the bright rainbow. Bruce was hit by a car in Germany, killed instantly while walking back to his base after a Thanksgiving leave. The report we received indicated that he stepped out in a fast moving highway to flag a car down, a ride to, back to his base. The report also indicated that he had a large amount of alcohol in his blood. That caused me to worry. Was Bruce eternally lost? Then I remembered that Amarillo rainbow. You know, God gave Noah a rainbow to show that he's a promise keeper. And I remembered when Bruce was just a young boy, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and was baptized, and on that day, God promised to give him eternal life. Just maybe, that rainbow reminds me that God is still a promise keeper, and I don't need to worry about Bruce, for God loved him more than I ever could. That, I believe, was putting Bruce's soul in. That was loving God through the soul. Now I've been hit with another bad day. Arlene has died, and I'm lonely for the first time in my life. But I know that God has something for me to do yet, and so I need to put my life into God's hand. I need to love him with my soul, all that I am. All that I ever would be. I needed to put Bruce's life into God's hands, and I need to put my own life into God's hands. God is a promise keeper. He keeps his promises. Some of you know that I was a probation officer for 15 years. And I dealt with a lot of bad people. But I had to remember that God loved every one of them that I dealt with. One night, while I was in Clovis, New Mexico, one of the local Mexican boys was in the process of burglarizing a store. And one of the officers came in and shot and killed him. And I was told that the police officers were afraid to go down in that part of the town where he lived. But I knew that boy's mother. I had dealt with one of his younger brothers, one of her younger children. And the Lord said to me, "You need to go down there and have a prayer with that woman." That is loving God with your strength. I wanted to talk about loving God with your strength, and I kind of got mixed up and left it out. But some people thought maybe I was brave to go down. I wasn't brave. I wasn't afraid. I felt I was perfectly safe to go down there. But it did take a little bit of energy on my part to go down there and say a prayer with that woman. And I hope she was blessed. Somehow I got mixed up here. Another aspect of loving God and faith is repentance. Every Sunday here at church, we read a confession of faith. We did it this morning. confessing sins of omission and commission that we ordinarily commit. And then we have a private prayer in which we we pray about personal sins with which we struggle. And then Pastor Steve reads a passage of scripture that shows that God forgives us, and we say amen, and we feel forgiven, and I think it's a good feeling. But I don't think that confession and repentance stops there. True repentance involves stop doing wrong and start doing right. You know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do know that the Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means change your mind. If you are going in the wrong direction, you need to turn around and go in the other direction. We cannot do it our own, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we could do it. A year or so ago, in my private prayer of confession at church, I confessed that I was watching stuff on my cell phone that no Christian should be watching. And the Holy Spirit seemed to say to me, "Jim, put that phone away where it won't tempt you." So I put it in my dresser drawer for 6 weeks during Lent. Now it's easier for me to delete that stuff that I shouldn't be watching. I believe that that is good. Jesus said the second commandment is equally important. We are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. How do we do that? Is it with our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength? Do we think about our neighbor? Do we have a heart for him? Do we walk in his shoes a little bit? Do we put forth a little bit of effort and go and do something for him? I think that's the way we love with our heart, mind, and soul. I believe Jesus commanded us to love God with heart, mind, and soul and strength because I think that's the way God loves us. God thought about us before the world began, he said. God looked down upon us and see us in our captivity, sees us in our captivity to sin, seen the Israelites in their captivity to the Egyptians, and he looked down with a heart to do something about it. And then in his power and strength, he made it possible for the Israelites to leave Egypt. And he, in his power and strength, he fights for us too. And then I believe that God loves us with our soul. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave his very life. He gave his very soul for us. That's how much God loves us. We need to love God that way. One of the reasons that I love this church is because I see people loving God with their mind, their heart, and their soul, and their strength. And I see them loving one another that way. And I feel love from you that way, especially since Arlene has died. I've felt several people showing their love to me in many different ways. And it's a good feeling. My prayer is today that the Holy Spirit will remind each one of us this week to give more thought to how we can love God with our mind, our soul, our strength, and our heart. Wake up this morning. Wake up this week and think how you can do that. I think it's a way that we can love one another, and I think it's the way we should love our spouse. The best advice that I can give any marriage couple is wake up in the morning and ask yourself, how can I love my wife with my mind today? How can I love my wife with my heart today? How can I love my wife with my soul today? How can I love my wife with my strength? And the wife needs to say the same thing of the husband. I believe with all my heart that the reason Jesus gave us this commandment to love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength because that's the way he loves us. Let us pray. Our loving and eternal Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this congregation of people this morning. I just thank you for each one that's here. And I pray that you will bless each one. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us will learn to love one another and learn to love you the way you love us. And Father, I pray from the bottom of my heart that somehow, some way, we can just encourage one another, looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ will come back again. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is coming back. I believe with all of my heart that God exists. And I believe with all of my heart that God wants each one of you in this congregation this morning to have eternal life. God, may that happen. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.